Mary tugged closer the tartan shawl that still smelled of Dundee's wild heaths, wondering if she was ready to shed the final lonely moments of her journey home from Scotland. That area of freedom where her father had sent her to be educated by an old radical friend, so she might be brought up a philosopher like her mother. At nearly 17 years old, Mary understood her education was now considered complete, even as she tucked into her reticule the well-loved volume of her mother's most celebrated and vilified book, A Vindication of the Rights of Woman. Mary had read every book written by or about her mother, save the one that her father had strictly forbidden her, but this was her most beloved. And she'd been rereading its fabric soft pages since the Osnaburgh had begun its traverse of the murky Thames. Live each day as if it were your last. For a woman with no intention of living beyond the age of 38, the age her mother died, Mary reasoned, at best, she had only 22 years left to live. Truly live. Ahead of her, London bustled beneath soot-filled skies, and with the motion of the city came a return to her old life, whether she wished it or not. Standing on the deck, Mary rocked on her heels. London's frenetic energy was catching even from this distance, until she spotted her father's ramrod posture among the crowd milling about the wharf, a standout in his eccentric emerald waistcoat. Decorum forgotten, Mary waved wildly to catch his attention, while burly sailors sprang to action to secure the Osnaburgh. Oh, how she had missed her father. He had been her sole family for so many years, and it had been enough, at least for her. Her father had obviously needed something more. Scotland's heather-speckled hills and the white-capped waves of the North Sea, the same that had caused Mary a week of seasickness and now made her striped cambric carriage dress hang looser on her bones, may never have existed as the weary Osnaburgh passengers jostled her forward onto the pier. Mary's sudden joy evaporated the moment she spied the grey-garbed wardress of a woman standing next to William Godwin. Mary wanted her father to be happy. Truly, she did. But it was near impossible to find solace in her father's remarriage to dour Jane Claremont. The noise and sun-rotten stench of the docks closed around her like a fist as her father and termagant of a stepmother approached. Grata domum, Mary. William Godwin kept both hands on his mahogany walking stick like a philosopher of old. The image was marred only by that eye-numbing emerald waistcoat. Gratias tibi, she responded in flawless Latin, preening at the pride reflected in her father's warm grey eyes. It was an old game of theirs, conversing in Latin. Once she'd mastered the ancient language of the classics, they'd moved to French, until Mary could converse just as easily in both languages. She'd learned early how to capture her father's praise, through the accumulation of knowledge. Jane, who also understood Latin, merely ignored their exchange. Mary recalled her stepmother responding once in the dead language during a dinnertime conversation. It was shortly after she'd joined the Godwin household, but Mary's father had ignored her, and Jane never again partook of their forays into Latin. William Godwin rubbed the bend in his nose and appraised Mary with an approving nod. Her stoic father abhorred tender embraces, especially in public, but his eyes had taken on an extra mistiness that made Mary hope he might embrace her, just this once. Instead, he gruffly cleared his throat before directing arrangements for the delivery of her portmanteau. "You should have arrived an hour ago," Jane tutted under her breath, replacing the polished timepiece in her pocket. "Supper will be late and there's nothing to be done about it." "My apologies. I learned much in Scotland, but not how to control the winds." Baiting her stepmother had been a favourite pastime before Scotland. Like a tattered bear in a ring, Jane usually responded with growls and much gnashing of her pointed little teeth. Now that Mary was older, she had promised herself to try harder with Jane upon her return. In less than a minute, she was back to old habits. "Be kind, Mary," her father had implored when he'd first informed her of his upcoming marriage. For me,